Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, now I've just got coffee all down my dress. Good job, Jen missed that.
What the fuck did I miss?
I stirred my coffee with a Bic pen and then held the Bic pen to show Alison what a biro is. And anyway, there was coffee obviously in the lid bit and it all went down my dress.
Oh, fucking hell.
Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind, charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith.
Jen had to clean my... I brought my Mac down to Jen. She had to clean it for me. I saw it and I was like, oh, my Mac looks very different. Jen was like, yes, I've cleaned it, Maureen.
How bad was it, Jen? How bad was it?
Well, I mean, I could have handed it over to the Wuhan lab to see what they found. There's every chance we found some sort of coronavirus.
We know all where I'm it started. Is, it did not start in a lab.
All I'm saying is I'm probably toxic at the moment. You don't want to get near me. It's very catching. I nearly binned your laptop. I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I thought, oh, it's more into better not. But I cleaned it.
Well, I didn't know how to clean it. But you've got to use special stuff, haven't you? I haven't got special stuff.
It's available. You can buy it. And it's in shops and things. Cleaning equipment and products are available to buy, actually, Maureen. They're not heirlooms that have been handed down through generations that only my family hold and no one else.
And oh, that's my alarm. I'm up.
Wakey, wakey, anyway, Maureen. That is absolute classic. That Maureen's alarm is 5 minutes after we're supposed to be recording. Any other being more Maureen to add before we start the record of this podcast, Maureen?
Anyway, Alison, it was quite a difference in the look.
Was it?
It was the difference between absolutely filthy to clean.
Yeah.
I said to Chloe, listen, I don't even want to touch that laptop. And I went, I don't know what to say. You have to. I mean, I just saw Chloe in the sink with a wire brush. I was like, what are you cleaning? She was like, my hands have just been holding Maureen's laptop.
Not a euphemism.
COVID started under the space bar. There it is. There it is right there.
Oh, dear. Anyway.
Oh, we love you, Maureen. We're sorry. Yeah.
I've gone into a personal lockdown since handling Maureen's laptop. I won't be out of the house now for some time.
We had fun today, Alison. We did this. Have you done this? Jen had to do a self-tape. For people who don't know, this is what people do now for like auditions. So we used to go for auditions. Now people like you to self-tape. And it is a very long, tedious process.
Yeah. Well, it is when I do it because I'm bloody awful.
Are you really good at learning lines? I was directing. Jen didn't appreciate all my directions. At one point, she'd say the word licking. So I was like, don't do that, Maureen. Stop doing that.
It's like, it's putting me off. Maureen mouthing some sort of cunnilingus action at me while I'm trying to be in a very serious.
Licking.
Yeah, literally licking like that. Yeah.
I thought I was helping.
I don't know. obviously I was aroused, Maureen.
By Maureen's tense lip lick.
Yeah. I didn't know what she was doing.
Does it say yodeling? Yodeling in my...
Gargling. I don't know what you were doing.
Anyway, so yeah, we had to do that this morning.
That's great.
I'm very grateful to you, Maureen, because I think these things are very boring to do. And I do appreciate that you did take that time to do that with me. Because inevitably, whenever you do a self-tape, I know, just to get into the tedium of it for people who don't really care, I'm just going to be very brief. You're acting against your phone. You know, aren't you, Alison? So you're acting to your phone.
You're reacting to equipment.
And you're acting and you're reacting to a phone. And sometimes you can feel a bit self-conscious. It's quite difficult not to. But it can take a couple of takes. And there was a couple of times where I got through pretty much the whole bit. And then there was just one line I kept tripping over. And Maureen was like, oh, my God. So in the end, Maureen just had to write that one line in black Sharpie on a piece of paper. Because every time I blanked, and so I would be doing the take like this, and then you'd just see my eyes move to the left. And then that was me reading that one line. Unfortunately, podcasts aren't a visual medium. Otherwise, what Alison did was hilarious.
But if you become a patron, you can see all the faces that we're making.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, well worth your money. Well worth your money.
Well worth every penny.
Also, I finished my jumper.
Maureen, your mic's quite quiet.
Oh, do you know what? My mic's facing the wrong way.
You literally turned it.
I literally did that.
30 minutes ago.
Honestly, I 30 minutes ago, we got on here for a pre-chat and you didn't have the mic facing the right way.
Must have turned.
It's the bare minimum requirement for a podcast, Maureen.
Did you say it? It must have turned. It must have turned.
I'm an artist. I don't do the technical stuff.
Fair
anyway,
enough.
I was talking about me, yeah. So can we get back to me?
Let's get back to your...
Yep, I'm sorry.
I finished my jumper.
It's gorgeous.
Maureen, that's lovely.
It's really gorgeous. And did you do all the... Because you were having a bit of trouble with the stitching and that's all done and...
Oh, yeah, that's all done. That's my tedious bit. So, as everybody knows, it's sewing up and getting... cutting it up all up. It's all... And I had a bit of problem with the neck because I'd done the wrong thing. But, yeah, no, it's all done. I can put it on and it fits. And that's the main thing.
Amazing.
I like
add that to the list. So you've got that lovely green one. You've got a black one.
I've got a pink one.
Purple one.
A purple one.
Purple one.
I've got a blue one.
You've got blue one and now you've got red one. Are they all the same?
They're similar.
No, they're the same.
They're the same.
Great. But you're very much knitting how I shop, Maureen. You're knitting like several different colours of the same item and I am buying several different items of just different colours.
Yeah, Alice and Jen went shopping this week.
What did you buy when you went shopping?
I bought clothes.
There we are.
That's how excited she was.
Uh-huh, yeah. Anything that stood out to you this shopping trip?
I mean, look, I bought a couple of shirts and a couple of pairs of trousers. I mean, I don't think anyone's interested. I don't mean you. I just mean in general. It's they're not very... interesting, particularly. The only thing I would say is that the trousers are identical, but to different colours, and that's kind of how I roll. And the shirts are not identical, but fairly identical and different colours.
Wow! You have as long as they cover your tedious bits, that's all that
they
matters.
They cover all of my tedious bits. My tedious bits are firmly shut.
Firmly?
What?
Wow!
Wow! My tedious bits are very firm, actually, Alison. I thought I'll have you know.
Jen and her firm tedious bits.
Oh, my God. What a
sorry, everyone.
What a sight for sore eyes. Alison, you're still in Toronto. What's going on? Have you been working much or have you just been socialising? What's happening?
I have been socialising. We were talking about this before on our little pre-chat. Here's what I'm going to recommend to everyone. So I was telling you, ladies, I ended up going to the same restaurant 2 days in a row. So friends made a plan. We went to a restaurant. Great. Then my other friends made a plan. Recommended the same restaurant. I just didn't have the heart to be like, actually, I just ate there. I was like, I don't care. Here's what I realized, actually. Going to the same restaurant again and again with people that you want to see is actually good because you don't waste any time looking at the menu. You know what you want. So you get to focus all your attention on the people. I highly recommend going to places that you are familiar with if you want to catch up with a person. That's what I learned this week.
And you had the same thing, didn't you?
I did have the exact same thing.
I do that.
Maureen, we know you do that. Yeah. I literally, Maureen, whatever, there's like three restaurants we go to, I don't need to, she doesn't need to look at the menu. She has exactly the same thing. Whatever it is, it's cream-based or cheese-based or cheesy, creamy-based.
So it's good for somebody who's lactose intolerant.
Yeah. So Maureen just discovered she's lactose intolerant. I mean, that's like the worst case situation for somebody like Maureen who lives on lactose, basically.
We have footage of her drinking what we thought was double cream, and we weren't even.
It was
thrown.
Still some lactose based.
Yes, it was. It was a latte, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. And of course, let's not go into buttermilk. But anyway, Maureen likes to. She knows what she likes, and she likes what she likes.
Yep.
Are we allowed to ask what you had, Alison? Is that?
Yeah,
is
you
that
can right? ask. Okay, let me say it correctly. It was a. Is it tagliatelle?
Tagliatelle? No, tortelloni.
No, what? Tagliatelle. Tagliatelle. The thick noodles, bolognese.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it was so good. It was so good. Because there wasn't a lot of meat. There was a lot of non-meat options, but I was like, I want some meat in there. And it was delicious. You could taste the freshness of the of the noodles.
Yeah.
Oh God, it was pasta, not noodles, of the pasta. Sorry, everyone.
Oh, you can say noodles, we know. Yeah, we know. Yeah. They're noodly things, aren't they?
It was great. And that soft white cheese. What's the cheese everyone's having right now? That
mascarpone?
It just pulls apart.
Mozzarella? Buffalo mozzarella?
Maybe. No. Like a buffalo mozzarella. There's a name for it. Anyway, I had a fancy white cheese. It was delicious. You would have loved it more.
Ooh. Okay. That sounds great.
It was great.
Oh. Alison, that sounds like you've had a good week with mates catching up, a couple of whom we know. Deborah DiGiovanni and Paul Myhawk.
Yes. Mm. It was delightful to see them. Deb's been on the show. Remember when we did WTB, we did new material.
Yeah.
Deb was on the new show.
She was on a live show. We didn't record it, but she was on the show. And it was lovely to see her. Well, was that it? Have we done our weeks?
Oh, I went to the Courtauld Gallery. I did a bit of arty-farty stuff, which I would recommend. It's in London, very small gallery, but lots of very good paintings, like paintings that you would know and you're like, oh, I didn't realise that would be here. I would totally recommend it. It's not too big and easy to get round and lots to see.
Whereabouts is it?
Somerset House.
Somerset House.
Yeah, which is really, it wasn't a great place to visit this weekend because it was freezing, but in the summer it's a beautiful palace by the river. Just off the Strand. And it was very nice, very nice. And I got in free with my art pass.
Of course. Let's never... I think that we should... This, frankly, podcast should be sponsored by the art pass because we've... there isn't a week that goes by that we don't mention it.
Maureen doesn't use it, yeah.
Yeah. Maureen hasn't used it and we don't mention it. I mean, we're literally... Yeah. We must be... There must be so many people that have purchased the art pass just through you, Maureen.
Doubtful, but we'll go with that.
There's you. There is you. We've done my week, haven't we? So we don't need to go over that. I have done nothing. Good. Great. Fantastic. Amazing times. A little bit of shopping. And that is the end of my week. Maureen, I think we should head over to you. I have spent quite a lot of time with Maureen Younger, and it's fair to say that every hour of the day is a Be More Bloody Maureen moment. They never end. They're on a loop, I've realised. It's like a figure of eight. Just as you get to the end of the eight, oh, we're starting up again and straight back into another one. So it's time to head over to the Younger to find out what that Be More Bloody moment is.
I messaged Jen, I have just put olive oil in my eyes. And I was like, sitting there going, why is it so blurred?
I mean, you can't make this shit up, can you?
It was fine in the end, but I wouldn't recommend it.
No, you wouldn't recommend it, Maureen.
Actually, I'm not going to do it. There was one last night, but I'm going to leave that for next week.
There was one last night.
We'll explain all that next week. But I, we're doing that thing where I kind of purloined something by accident. This is the third story in that series. So this is a few years ago.
I like that they've now become a series.
There's a trilogy of Maureen's.
This is the third of three.
Or a trilogy. Anyway.
Episode three.
This is a while back, and I was going into a country, which will remain unnamed, and I was at passport control, and the guy kept, looking at my passport, looking at me. I was getting a bit knocked. I'm thinking, yeah, okay, that photo was a few few years ago, I put on a few pounds, but it's clearly me, and I was getting a bit narked. He kept looking and looking, and I was like, what's your problem, mate? Anyway, I get through. I'm walking away, and then this guy runs after me, and he goes, oh, have you got someone else's passport? And I went, no. And I look at the passport, and I've got a passport of a blonde 24-year-old. I can safely say I've never been blonde, and I definitely wasn't in my 20s, right? And what I'd done is I'd seen a passport on the seats.
Yeah.
And I just picked up, I haven't picked up my passport. Just picked up this passport, not realising that obviously I had my passport in my handbag all the time. Just picked up this woman's passport, thought it was mine. And the reason that customs was looking, because obviously I had a photograph of a 24-year-old blonde woman, and I was neither. And anyway, this guy took the passport and ran back. I never went back. I thought, I'm just keep on going. So kept on going. And then you had to get a bus to get to the tube station, the nearest tube station. Got on the bus. And then the woman whose passport I'd accidentally stolen was sitting next to her, had to sit opposite me, basically. And I got the feeling she didn't really like me.
No, that's unusual, isn't it? When somebody has created the kind of panic that nobody wants when they're at an airport, where you cannot find your passport. Oh, my God, the panic that poor woman must have been in. You've taken her passport. You've got a passport, but you've taken hers. You've
accidentally.
Sure, Maureen. All of this is accidental, always. You've gone to customs, passport control, rather, with your, not your passport, somebody else's passport. They've opened it up. They've gone, this isn't you, presumably.
And you got through. That's what amazes me.
Yeah, do you know, but I think what it is, I say, because I used to work with security with a bank, people tend to act in a certain way when they're, you know, they're sociopaths, you know, in a certain way when they do things. So because I thought that passport was mine, I obviously wasn't acting in a suspicious way because I was convinced I'd given them my passport. Whereas if I'd been trying to go into a country with somebody else's passport, I knew it wasn't mine, there'd be telltale signs. I'd be like panicking, or I'd be like, oh, you know what I mean? But because I thought it was, I obviously wasn't reacting in a way that, I was acting in a way of somebody who'd just handed in her passport.
I mean, there's a lot to unpack here. You've managed to go through passport control on somebody else's passport.
Yeah, and they never asked for me to come back.
Did you, and I already know the answer to this, but just for the WTB listeners, did you at any point, Maureen, apologise to this woman for taking her
passport? No.
No.
She didn't even speak to her.
No.
I just thought I won't bring it up.
Don't bring it up.
You know, it wasn't my fault. I mean, I saw a passport. I just saw the passport. I just assumed it was mine, didn't I?
But did you leave your passport somewhere and that's why you thought
it
was yours?
No, it was in my handbag. My passport was in my handbag. But I thought I'd put it out. I thought I must have put it out. And so I picked it up.
I'm really trying to take your side here, Maureen, because I think in some ways that could happen, couldn't it? You could see a passport, it's near your stuff. You think, oh, that must be my passport. You take your passport. Maybe what we really need to be doing is just talking to this guy at passport control and go, fucking hell no.
I think he should lose his job.
I don't know what this is. You have one job, and that is to look at the photo and look at the person and go, no, they don't even let you wear glasses. They make you take your glasses off.
They do. And you've got to show your ears as well now, haven't you?
Why? What's with my ears?
I'm so self-conscious about my ears.
And you're not allowed to smile. You're not allowed to smile.
No, you're not allowed to smile. Yeah. You have to go to the counter and be like this. No gurning either whilst cocking an ear. But, you know, you said when you go to passport control, you know, you went with all the confidence of someone that knew it was your passport.
Yeah.
I still go to passport control with a sense of apprehension. I don't know why. It is my passport. I've never turned up with anyone else's passport, to be clear. But whenever I hand it over, because I always get quizzed, always. I don't know if they always look at me and go, she's a little bit beige, she looks a little bit foreign. When I went to Oslo, all right, let's just say it. Let's just be honest. When I went in, I got grilled. Where are you going?
Did you?
Where are you staying? Who are you going with? What are you doing? How long will you be? What's your job? Is that a job? Where do you do that job? Who's your employer? Have you got a visa? Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, geez. I said to my friend Marcus, who was what I was traveling with, I was like, they're really strict with the whole passport control. He went, what do you mean? I went, I've just been there for like 5 minutes. He asked me like 100 questions. He was like, didn't ask me a single one. I was like, what the hell? And then when I went back out, going to the country that is my country, I got grilled again by the Norwegian passport control. They went, what are you going to be doing in Britain? I said, I'm going to be living there because that's where I live. They were like, yes, but what do you do there? I said, I do the job that I said, I just told you my job. I do that there. And he went, well, where are you living? I said, in my house. He went, okay, you can go through. I was like, why are you?
Those are all correct answers. You may proceed.
Yeah. I mean, I don't need you to stop me from going into my own country, you weirdo. Anyway. God, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to America later.
America is such... It's always scary going through America.
I have never got through American passport control without being taken to one side and practically strip searched with someone's thumb up the bum. So I'm really looking forward to it. Anyway, Maureen Younger, that was, as always, one of the better Be More Maureen moments. Yeah. As I said to her when she told me about this before, I was like, this is definitely, there's a theme here where you are constantly just picking up other people's stuff. I'm hoping that this is the three of three and we won't be experiencing any more of these.
No. I think we should start a list of things Maureen has picked up over the years.
We should stop here.
Well, let's stop there at least for 1 week where we can have a Be More Maureen where you haven't nicked someone's gear.
No, I haven't nicked it because I haven't, I thought it was mine.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. Okay, well, you haven't
purloined.
Purloined, what a word, ooh. Purloined. We're all learning a new word today, and that is purloined, where you accidentally take somebody else's item and it's not yours and you've purloined it. Well done, Maureen Younger. What a treat to talk to you yet again. Alison, can we please talk to you? Because my heads are spinning. Let's find out who had a problem, what the answer was. It's time to ask Alison.
Go to the gym, get it together, pay your taxes and stop eating chips. Take my advice.
Take my advice.
Cause I ain't using it. No, no.
No, no.
Take my advice. I ain't using it.
Well, like I told you last week, I am literally going to address your problem of forgetting things, Jen. That's what I'm doing, remember?
She forgot.
Last week. Yeah, you forgot. Yeah, I know. I know.
Honestly, I was with Maureen yesterday and bless Maureen for doing this, but every time we were about to leave a dressing room, she went, have you got your phone? Yeah. Where's your wallet? I was like, oh, I don't know. It's in my bag.
You got your glasses.
Have you got your glasses case? Yeah. What about your glasses? They're in the case. Where's your glasses case? In the bag. Okay. Is there anything else we've forgotten? I mean, literally, I need Maureen with me all the time. Otherwise, I'm going to leave something behind.
And she had a goodie bag. And I was like, that goodie bag is never going to make home. Anyway, you did make home.
Yeah, but only because you were with me. Anyway,
it's all right, though. If you forget anything with Maureen, she's got eight of replacements in her bag from various prolongings. How do I say it?
Purloined.
Purloined. Her prolongings? All right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Her purloins.
Her purloins.
Sorry, everyone. All right, we're on task. Okay, so how do I stop forgetting things? Okay, so I broke it down. Our specific problem is losing things, forgetting things. First thing I want to say, what do you lose the most? Let's focus on that first. Focus on one thing at a time. Are you always losing your glasses? Are you always losing your keys? Whatever it is, you want to focus just on remembering one thing for a while until you get used to it, used to not losing it. When you put something somewhere, say it out loud. I just put my keys on the table. I just put my, even if it's just to yourself, they say saying it out loud makes it stick in your brain. Singing a song about it. Now, I know this sounds stupid, but what is it? Head, shoulders.
I'm not going to do it,
Alison. Head, shoulders, knees, and toes. I left my keys on. No, head, shoulders. Keys are on the table.
Please do that, Jen. That'd be hilarious.
I left my keys on the table. On
the table. Yes.
I left my keys on. Yeah, okay, fine.
I know it sounds ridiculous, but you will remember. So any catchy song that gets stuck in your head. Head, shoulders, knees, and toes was a big one. Let's not rely on our memory. If we know we're forgetting things all the time, then let's set up some things to just make it a bit easier, okay? So, clutter is your enemy. Start clearing out clutter. The less shit you have around, the easier it's going to be for you to see the shit you need at the time you need it. So try to eliminate clutter in your life. Take pictures. For instance, if you park your car somewhere, take a picture of where it is that you parked your car.
I do that now, Alison.
Good for you.
I do that.
Yeah.
Because I have got caught out so many times on multi-story car parks where I have convinced myself that it's on a particular level and I'm practically on the phone to Chloe going, someone's nicked the car. Somebody's nicked our car. How am I gonna explain this? Did I lock it? I'm sure I locked it. And of course, it's just on a different level.
It's on
P4. That's why now. Yeah. And not just a level. I sort of take a picture of, you know, what column it is or.
Good for you, Jen. Yeah, this is a major thing. This helps people a lot. So well done. Well done.
It's so
you.
Stressful.
It is stressful. Items that you want to remember. So, Jen, I specifically thought of you. They said go by brand colors. You like orange. I think your notebook should be orange. Your iPod should have an orange cover on it. Orange. That way, if you're in a hotel room and you see something orange, you're like, oh, that's one of my possessions.
Everything's black and it's such a pain because I can't find anything.
Yeah.
You're right. I need a little bit
bright of colors. You like orange. Leave things in strange places to remind you. So for instance, when I am leaving a hotel, like if I stayed in a hotel for the weekend and I'm leaving on Sunday, sometimes what I'll do is I'll put the ironing board in front of the door with my boots on top of it. And that's a reminder to pack my flip-flops. I don't know why I do that, but like certain things in weird places jog my memory to remember to do other things. Yeah.
Would it just be easy to pack your flip-flops?
No, because I need my flip-flops in the morning when I take a shower. Oh my God, I'm not stepping on that. Yeah.
No, I hear you. So, I totally hear you.
So things to remember. Invest in technology. AirTags, people. AirTags go a long way.
What's an AirTag?
So it's like Apple AirTags or little things that you can attach to your items and then sync it to your phone. And then if you can't find something, you're like, boop, boop, there it is.
Well, you know who won't be, the first thing I'll lose is my phone.
You won't be, put an AirTag on it. Oh, no
you, I don't think you ever used them. I bought you those things that you can use from your phone, tiles.
Yep. Tiles, that's another one, Maureen. Yes.
Yes, because I've got that on my keys.
I think it's still in the drawer.
Yeah, I mean, well, you could try and use them.
Maureen, you did a great thing there.
I bought two of them for
Maureen did do a good thing. She did a good thing.
You know what? You could put one in your wallet because you're always losing your wallet.
There we go. Look at Jen. If you were on Patreon, you'd see the looks right now Jen is giving.
Honestly, and then when you can't, like when I can't find my keys, the amount of times it saved me looking for my keys, you just press the button.
Boop, boop.
And it goes.
A little bit of technology goes a long way. Goes a long way. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm here for that. I will do that.
Do it. And then the last thing I want to recommend to you, because Jen, I know you're a traveler, as am I, set alarms and reminders in your phone. So like sometimes I set a reminder the night before, like at 11:30 p.m. when I know I'm back in my hotel room, an alarm will go off and it'll be like, don't forget to put the iron by the front door. Like literally I pre-put alarms and they're saying this is a good thing. Pre-set alarms, pre-determine where you might be at in certain times, you know, to remind yourself to not forget things. So that's a little bit of how technology can help. The last thing I want to say, look, if you are someone who is misplacing things, losing things, remember, when you're searching for something, don't search in a panic. The more panicked you are to find something, the harder it's going to be. So those deep breathing exercises, take a minute, don't freak out, because if you start to freak out, you're never going to find the item. Those are a few things that I think you can do to help you stop losing things. There we go.
Alison, I think... they are genuinely very useful suggestions. And I will endeavour to start taking a bit more responsibility and start using these.
Don't beat yourself
up. I do
up.
Think sometimes, even like just saying that thing, that simple thing that you said about saying it out loud, I've heard about that before. And I think actually that would work if I said to myself, like, I'm just going to put my keys on the table or whatever, or my keys are on the... I mean, fuck knows where I put my keys half the time. That I don't
start putting them in the same place. You got to have a dish by your front door, a dish on the table.
There's a drawer. Oh, God.
Yeah, but you can't see the drawer. The drawer's shut. They say, like a big bowl. And that way, if you right. started putting all your crap in that, right, your headphones, your keys, your every, that's your like, that's my location point number one. That might.
Okay. Yeah. Location point number one with all the crap, but you know who I live with, don't you? So.
Make it a nice bowl.
It's going to get moved.
A nice big tall bowl so it looks like ornamental and then it,
okay.
right? Your stuff goes in it and then nobody right. sees it.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Just yeah. to have one place to put everything. Everything in its place
yeah.
and its place for everything.
Yeah.
But, okay, great. Yeah,
there we go.
Alison, thank you very much for your suggestions. I hope that was, I'm sure that will have been useful to lots of people. I can't believe, I refuse to believe that I am the only person that gets all of this stuff wrong. I can't believe it. I can't
you
be right.
Stop punishing yourself that you put things down and sometimes don't remember where you said it. That's all that it is, Jen.
Okay, yeah, you're absolutely right. Don't punish yourself, Brista. It's perfectly normal behaviour for a 48-year-old woman.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Sorry, Alison, I'm distracted by the fact that Maureen appears to be drinking double cream.
I'm not drinking double.
What are you drinking?
It's a cafe latte.
Oh, thank God. Sorry, Alison, let's be honest. It wouldn't be out of the realms of possibility that Maureen is chugging on some double cream. Let's head over to ourselves again. Because what else are we going to do? That's what this podcast is. It's just the three of us. What have we been watching, reviewing, seeing, touching and feeling?
Well, I watched the end of Daisy Jones, the last two episodes, and the six. Really loved it. Was gutted when it came to an end. Totally recommend it.
This is a big wreck from Maureen Younger. Yeah, it's Daisy Jones and six. We have got it lined up, Maureen. Chloe's behind it. We're going to be watching it.
Let me know what you think. Now, so I want to try and watch something else, which I watched a Spanish programme with called A Private Affair. And it's got Aura Garrido, who's from the Ministry of Time. I really like her as an actress. It was going to be a bit far-fetched. She's basically a very rich lady and her butler, who's played by Jean Reno, the French actor, solve crime. So obviously it's not going to be the Spanish version of The Wire. I kind of knew that from the start. But it was, I mean, it's beautiful production values. The costumes are lovely. The cars are lovely. She's stunning. She's a great actress. But it was just a bit too far-fetched. It was just a bit too, you know, when they try to do that thing where they have the woman who's so modern, it's like, well, that would not have happened in 1940 Spain. You know, I lived in Spain in the 1980s and it, you know, and like the beginning scene, she, as a woman by herself, she in a ball gown, obviously, in a massive, beautiful ball gown, she goes down to the docks late at night. No woman in their right mind, let alone in 1940 Spain, would go to somewhere like the docks by themselves. You just wouldn't do that as a woman. You know, when, at late at night, you won't be able to people, you want to go somewhere where people can hear you if you need to scream. And then she has a fight and of course she's a blinking master at, I don't know, Kung Fu or something. So it was a bit unbelievable, which is a shame because I really wanted to like it, but I don't think I'll be watching it. But if you do fancy it, I mean, this you know, she's great. The costumes are stunning, as I say. Production values are fabulous. A Private Affair, and that's on Amazon.
It's a shame because it's one of those series that could have been really good, because it sometimes doesn't matter if it's a bit far-fetched, but it just, it, you can just kind of, you'll go with it, won't you? Yeah. But it's just too much, wasn't it?
And it was really laying it on thick, because she wants to be, her father was a policeman, her brother's a policeman, she wanted to be a policewoman, obviously she can't be because it's 1940 Spain. But it was really laying on thick the bit, you know, the feminist, I can't, well, obviously she couldn't do it because she was a woman, but you know, it was a bit like, okay, we get the point. You could have been a really great policewoman, but you can't because of sexism. But it was laying it on a bit thick, I thought. So, yeah, it's a shame.
Maureen, thank you very much for your suggestions. So 1 out of 2 suggestions. So Daisy and
definitely.
It's called
Daisy Jones and the Six.
Daisy Jones and the Six. That's your big recommendation, but maybe not the other one, which was called, what was it?
A Private Affair.
A Private Affair in Espanol. I have been watching a couple of things. I watched a movie and it kind of reminded me a bit of the movie that we went to see more in Babylon.
Oh, yeah.
It's the one with, it's the Tarantino film with...
in Hollywood.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Yes.
Brad Pitt, Leonardo DiCaprio, Margot Robbie again.
Yeah, and Sharon Stone.
Is Sharon Stone in it?
Sharon Tate.
So Margot Robbie plays Sharon Tate, but this is a... so for those, I'm sure you all know who Sharon Tate is. She was a Hollywood actor married to Roman Polanski, who was brutally murdered. She was pregnant at the time by Charles Manson's insane cult followers, who entered the house of what they believed to be a record producer and was told whoever was in there that Charles Manson said, whoever's in there, you have to kill them. So that's what they did. So this is a reimagining of that story, hence the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So this is, Tarantino does this quite a bit where he imagines what might have happened. He did that in Inglourious Basterds, where the all of the SS and the head of the Nazi party are all in a cinema and are massacred. So it's like a reimagining of history. And so he does that again with this particular story. So I won't spoil it, but basically it's not the ending. It's not what actually happens. It's a reimagined ending. And it's seen through the eyes of the neighbours of Roman Polanski and Sharon Tate, who is Leonardo DiCaprio's character, who is a successful TV actor, but now his star is in the decline, and it's about his relationship with his best friend, a codependent relationship with this quite psychotic stuntman who's Brad Pitt. Anyway, that's the backdrop. And then it's the reimagining. And it was so... I know it was a completely different time and everything, but just the whole way it shot really just... It just really reminded me of Babylon. It had that same kind of vibe.
Did you enjoy it?
I mean, it's very violent at the end because, of course, it is. It's Tarantino. You've seen it, have you, Alison?
Yeah.
And you've all seen it. So, you know, it's so violent at the end, isn't it? It's like quite gruesome. Did I enjoy it? I didn't not enjoy it. I didn't love it. What did you think of it, you two?
I can't really remember it that well, to be honest. I thought Margot Robbie looked stunning in it.
But she's stunning in everything.
And you really like the character of Sharon Tate. I mean, she comes across as a very...
Yeah.
And Austin Butler's in it. This is obviously before Elvis, as one of the...
Yeah, he's playing one of the
cult
the,
people.
The cult guys, yeah. He comes to a gruesome demise, doesn't he? We watched it. It was too long. It's nearly 3 hours. I don't think movies need to be that long. I don't know if you agree with me. And I was places a bit bored. And also the backstory of Brad Pitt as well. I just didn't really see. There's a lot of it. I didn't really see the point of it. But maybe I missed the point of it. I don't know. But anyway, I watched that, and then I also watched. I rewatched a series which I'd watched before called Back to Life, because I hadn't watched the second series, so I rewatched the first series. It's a sort of comedy drama created by Daisy Haggart, who stars in it. And I really enjoy it, actually. It's quite dark. It's about a woman who at the age of 18 is sent to prison because she's accused of murdering her best friend. And she, after 18 years, comes out of prison and has to sort of reintegrate into the community that all know that she's a murderer. Doesn't sound funny, But it's got loads of funny characters, and it's really well written, and I don't mind that it's quite dark. It's not a sitcom. It's definitely a comedy drama, and I went back and watched series one. And started watching series two. And if you're interested in that, it's very easy to watch. It's only sort of 30-minute episodes. It's quite dark, but I quite like that. And you can get it on Netflix, as well as the movie. You can get it on Netflix as well. Mm. Alison, what about the horror? The horror.
Yes, okay, so horror movies. I was thinking, okay, so I was trying to think about a horror movie based on, like, losing something or, like, bad memory. But all the movies that came up, they weren't really, like, horror. So I started thinking, okay, what about the idea of movies that are like based off of lost tapes? There we go. So I was like, my first one that I went to, Blair Witch Project. And I was like,
oh, that scared the living crap out of
me. So scary. Yeah, very scary. But what I want to recommend, actually, everyone, it's a little bit more cheesy. It's a totally different vibe. I'm going Blair Witch 2 on this, everyone. I'm going Blair Witch 2.
I've seen that. That's not good.
But it's not good in that it's like easy watching, right? If you don't want to commit into anything,
yeah.
It's a lovely little five friends go into the woods. You know, like it's that kind of film. I loved it. It's not challenging. It's not that scary. It's still based off of like some lost footage that then they find. And I really enjoyed it. I mean, look. Blair Witch, the first one, great movie, a lot of expectations. But if you're looking for something real cheesy and a little bit different, I go Blair Witch 2, just for the hell of it, everyone.
Blair Witch 2. Hey, I haven't done my due diligence, actually, Alison, where I have
Let's
to go
see,
and check
Rotten Tomatoes, how bad, where ones, are we at? Yeah. I feel like it won't be as bad as many of the ones I have recommended in the past.
What? No, I I've seen it, and it wasn't. It, you know,
I mean, it's not,
wasn't.
Oh, you know,
there's a Blair Witch 3. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Oh, Alison will be looking for that tonight.
Oh my God!
It's 14% on Rotten Tomatoes, Alison. So it's not great. it's 4 out of 10 on IMDb. It doesn't even make 5.
You're welcome, everyone.
Hey. Because I saw Blair Witch when I was 18, so Blair Witch 2 came out in 2000, which was when I was.
Oh, and it's a very different.
25.
Yeah, it's very different.
I must have seen Blair Witch when I was 21, actually. But anyway, so this is 2000. So this is like so old. In my mind, it was not that long ago.
That's like everything in my world.
It was such a. I've never seen them, obviously, but they were such a massive hit.
Oh, I mean, Blair Witch, that changed as far as lost footage videos goes. That was the turning point in regards to like. You know. Yeah,
but they were so clever when they were doing the PR for that because people, the first lot of people to watch it thought it was real.
Yeah. And so then the interviews were
that's
like.
That's how they did it. Or, yeah. They it were like, this is no one, there were no actors. It was like, no, this genuinely happened.
Yep. So it got everyone's interest totally piqued. That's why Blair Witch 2 is completely different, everyone. Don't look for the same thing. But I like, here's the other thing too. I like that they went totally different, right? As far as a horror movie genre fan, the first one was what it was. The second one goes back to just a traditional cheesy, shitty horror film. So,
which is what we all want from horror. So that's fine.
Yeah. No challenging.
Great. Alison, thank you for your horror recommendation. And let us slide over. We've skidded, actually, on the floor of Maureen's culture to find out what she's doing in her corner. Ouch! I've fallen over again. Of course, it's the corner time that is often cultural, but sometimes just batshit.
Well, today that we're recording it, obviously not when you're listening to it, it is World Theatre Day today. So I thought I would look at some plays that really stood out for me, which I would recommend. I've actually just bought one. I just bought Tales from Hollywood, which by Christopher Hampton, which I saw in the 90s at the Donmar Warehouse with Phil Davis as Brecht and Ben Daniels as Erdin Horvath. And it was fantastic. And it's about all the German refugees who had to learn, all these great writers who had to flee Germany and ended up in Hollywood. So you got these literary legends who then became studio hacks, which happens to a lot of refugees, isn't it? You have like a very important job back at home, but because you've moved to another country, you don't speak the language, suddenly you're kind of downgraded. And, you know, you've got all these great German writers. You've got Bertolt Brecht on one hand, very left wing. You've got Thomas Mann, you know, this very staid, who at the time was one of the most popular German writers. And it's all kind of, like you were saying, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, It's called Tales from Hollywood, and the lead man in it is Erden von Erden von Horvath, and who wrote a very famous play called Tales from the Vienna Wood. He actually never made it to America. He got killed in a freak accident in Paris in 1938. He was actually standing under a tree in the Champs-Élysées, you know, kind of getting away from a storm, and a branch fell on his head and killed him.
Oh, what are the chances? That's, I know, such a freak accident.
So, in this version of events, he's actually in Hollywood, and it's a brilliant play. I would totally recommend it. Christopher Hampton is a very good writer. A couple of plays I've mentioned before, which I would recommend, as it's World Play Day. Danton's Death by Georg Büchner. I saw that in the 80s with Brian Cox from Succession. It's an amazing play about Danton, the French revolutionary who thought he was too popular, but they couldn't get rid of him. And that proved to be wrong. It's a brilliant play. Our Country's Good by Timberlake Vertenbacher, which is probably one of the Alison agrees. I think I've mentioned this play before. It's a brilliant play.
Oh, it's very Our Country's Good is so good. Yeah,
it's
I
such
agree
a good
more.
Play, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so life-affirming. It's so affirming about theatre. I remember a week when I was at drama school, I came down to London. I was at drama school in Glasgow. And I saw a play every night in the 90s. And I saw this at the Young Vic, and it was just outstanding. So, brilliant. Another thing I would recommend, got to mention Shakespeare, of course. If you're being a bit put off, I would say The Comedy for Errors. Comedy for Errors is just basically a farce. It's about two sets of identical twins who don't know each other exists, and mayhem is, you know, ensues. It's very, very funny. There was a brilliant, brilliant production of it in the 90s in the Globe with great actors. You won't know their names, but they've done a lot of stuff. Yolanda Vázquez, Martin Turner was in it. And they had Marcello Magni, who died last year, actually, unfortunately. And he was a great physical Italian actor. And he was brilliant. He was playing one of the sets of twins. He was the servant. And he was basically the star of the show. And I remember once he was ill and Mark Rylance had to take over. So I was working then. Everybody wanted to watch because said, this is going to be a disaster. There's no way he can replace Marcello. It's going to be a car crash. We're all, you know what human beings are like. We're all watching this. I remember Mark Rylance going on stage going, look, if you want, you can have your money back. I'm going to play the part, but I'm going to have to read the part. I don't know the part. And I have to say, it's one of the best bits of theatre I've ever seen. He played reading the book. He was reading the book. And it was because he was clever because he got the audience on side. And the Globe works like that. And everybody was on his side. And he did it. And at one point, because this character always gets hit by because he's a servant, at one point he turned around and went, will you just stop hitting me? Really funny. And The Comedy of Errors as well at the Globe. It was such a fantastic, fantastic production. It was like, which is what great comedy is and great theatre. It's like, it was like when the audience, the energy goes, it's like a tennis match where the audience goes from the stage to the audience and the audience back to the stage. You get that in comedy when you're really ripping it. And that was what it was like at the Comedy of Errors. It was such a fantastic production. And I was there for the last night. I'd seen it so many times. And you could tell the actors were enjoying it. And there was one bit where the wife kneels down in front of the husband. It looks like she's giving him a blowjob. So, of course, everybody was laughing. And I just remember this little girl saying to the father behind me, why is everybody laughing, Dad? I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting for you to explain that one. Another couple of plays is Playhouse Creatures by April De Angelis. I don't know if you know this, Alison. It's a brilliant play about the first female actors in the 1660s, including Nell Gwynn and Mrs. Betterton. Really, really good play about what life was like for female actors when they were first allowed to start performing in Britain. And then I thought, following on from Jen last week, it's a play by the guy who wrote the Banshees of Inisherin. This is Lieutenant Inishmore, which I saw with Aidan Turner. It's a fantastic, fantastic play. Very gruesome. He does tend to write quite gruesome. And the more gruesome it gets, the funnier it is. I mean, this
is
a good writer.
That's the same writer. In the movie, isn't it? It's The Banshees of Inisherin is gruesome as all hell, but hilarious.
It's hilarious. And as we know, to write something when it's gruesome and make it funny, that is really hard. And it's about this guy, Patrick, who's so extreme terrorist, he's too extreme for the IRA, so they've kicked him out. And then he goes back to this island of Inishmore to find out his cat's died, and he's really pissed off about the cat dying. So he's got to get revenge. on the people he left his cat with.
Oh, it's like John Wick, but over a cat.
But over a cat. And it is, honestly, it is a brilliant, brilliant play. And he's basically so good because he's obviously of Irish stock, Martin McDonagh. And he just picks apart, you know, the kind of the paramilitary, what was going on in Ireland. And in fact, when he wrote it, it was actually, I think, too hot to handle. It didn't get produced for years after he wrote it. But I would definitely, that's a very good play to read.
Brilliant suggestions. Oh,
and very last one is Rat in the Skull, which is also a play set, I saw it with Rufus Sewell. And again, it's about Northern Ireland. And he was brilliant in it. And I had a friend who was from Northern Ireland. She said he got it to a T, absolute T, the part. So yeah, those are the suggestions of various plays to have a look at.
Maureen Younger, as always, your cultural caller is absolute dynamite. Can you hear an explosion behind me? It's not wind, it's incredible firecrack. So, I've run out of steam with that one. I'm so sorry, Maureen, but I really appreciate the time that you went to research that. Thank you so much, Maureen Younger.
Now, Jen, it's your moment to shine.
It's your time. It's your time. I'm always curious to know what the hell's got your goat this week, Jen? I want to feel it.
Don't judge me. Now, you're going to be judging me now, but bloody well wait, okay? This is terrible, isn't it? That's what's got my goat. And do you know who I blame? Society. Okay, well, I think the thing that's got my goat is a thing I've got to stop doing, and I have to stop doing this with myself, is competing with my younger self. I don't know if you do this. I have noticed that I don't have the same energy levels. It's getting my goat to the point where I was like, why am I tired all of the time? I ache. I have got aches and pains. I thought this was like some sort of just a joke that people used to say, oh, when you get old, you get aches and pains. No, it's a real thing. Your body starts to ache in places that it never used to ache before. I don't sleep like I used to. Like when I was young, if I hit the sack, boom, I'm asleep. Woo-hoo, wake up in the morning. Not anymore. Go to sleep. Wake up. Need a wee. Try to go back to sleep. Oh, I've just started to think about something that's totally irrelevant to anything that's happening in my life. Oh, I've got an anxiety attack. Oh, I can't go back to sleep. Oh, I go back to sleep for like 30 minutes. Oh, I've hardly slept. Wake up in the morning. My calves are tight. My ankles hurt. My feet are sore. I'm like, what the flickety? I'm not 88. I'm 48. And it's really annoying me. I went for a cycle ride and I told this morning. It was really lovely. And I enjoyed it. But I was just acutely aware of the fact that my legs were not doing the thing that they used to do. Like I used to be able to really power through and get up hills and really move up. And now everything is like, and I know it doesn't matter. I could get as fit as I wanted to. I'm just never going to be the strength and the person I was 10 years ago. And it's got my goat. Is this it now? Is it downhill from here on in? Am I going to have to be like Carol Vorderman? I do follow her on Instagram. Am I going to have to start like going to the gym? Is this it? Anyway, that's what's got my goat. I can't believe the aging process has caught up with me. And now I have the aches and pains of a person that is truly middle-aged. Ugh. Anyone relate?
Yeah. I the aches and pains, when you were saying that, I was like, why? My legs hurt. My hips hurt when I wake up.
My hips hurt when I'm trying to sleep. Sometimes when I roll over, I go, I can't roll on that side. My hip hurts. Oh, no, I'll roll on the other side. What? Am I going to need a hip replacement? Listen, I hope that's not the case. Not yet, at least. I mean, give me a couple of years for crying out loud. Maureen. And the thing is with Maureen is that, do you have any aches and pains? I bet you don't have any.
Oh, sometimes, but not all the time, but sometimes. But yeah, but I mean, I do, like, there is that thing, like, you look at yourself when you're in your 20s or 30s and you go, I used to be hot. You know what I mean? And you're like, obviously you're not.
I'm not even concerned about the hotness, Maureen.
You're not.
It's my physical strength and my body. I like having a strong body. Do you know what I mean? So I can do things and I can feel.
I mean, sure, when you get older, you get tired and just can't be arsed, can you? I mean, it's just.
Yeah, it's not the hotness. It's really not. I mean, I've just accepted everything's going to go south. It's just, I haven't, have I? Because I'm moaning about it. It's the not being able to physically do the things and be as active and, you know, do the things, all the things. And also having young kids probably doesn't help, does it? I mean,
oh my God. No, I mean, no, Jen. I mean, that is pushing you to the limits every single day. You're amazing. Yeah.
I mean, luckily with me, I never did sport when I was young, so I haven't really been able to notice the difference.
Oh, good. Well, that's true.
Me too, Maureen. Although, I set my bar low at a young age. I set my bar low
then
at
you
a
don't,
young
then
age.
You don't notice. It takes you longer to notice.
No. I know. All right. Okay. But, like, I suppose if you're... Oh, never mind, Maureen. I don't know why I'm going to you for any empathy. There's a vacuum there. I don't know why I tried to tap into it. Although, to be fair to Maureen, she stayed over the other day. And I made her walk up a hill, and she was powering up this hill, Alison.
I know,
I'm
Jen
not
asked
joking.
Me to slow down.
I was like, Maureen, can you slow down? Because I'm actually quite tired. Maureen was like giving it some welly. I was like, where does this come from?
Because you know, I was talking about my love life. That's why.
Oh yeah, that really put a firecracker up a bottom.
So I was powering up.
Yeah,
she powered up. Powering up, is that what happens when you start to talk about your love life? Is it like getting stars in Nintendo?
Jen was like, you're going a bit, and I've never heard Jen's never, because normally I have to have a break going up that hill. Jen was like, can you just slow down a bit because you're going too fast?
And from now on, Maureen, now that I know that you can do that, very, very suspicious when you want to break going up that hill again. Anyway, that's what's got my go. It's not a serious thing. It's a point of in my life where I need to be accept my body, and start doing all the things that perhaps I should be doing at my age, instead of trying to be cycling up a 90-degree angled hill, yoga. That sort of thing.
Yeah, I was going to say stretching, yoga. That's what we got to start doing. That we're at the age now where it's like you got to lengthen and make sure everything's, yeah.
So. I do Pilates. When I come out, I'm a centimetre taller. That's a fact. It's not a scientific fact, but it's just a fact that I've created in my head and I'm sticking to it. Well, that's what's got my goat. That has been this week. We have covered everything. There's nothing left to say. Goodbye.
Bye.
Maureen's waving. I mean, who can see that?
Women Talking Bollocks.
If you have enjoyed WTB, please make sure that you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a little review.
Or you can check out our socials now on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you never know, we may even get on TikTok.
And if you do like the show, please do have a look at our Patreon for bonus content and weekly treats.
Will that do?